a stem, catch a wave on us. Take a shot, make a friend, just enjoy the moment.
I'm Luke Skywalking on these haters.
Celebrate every day like a birthday.
How's it going, guys? Manny Vietes back again with an off-season podcast. Haven't done a podcast in a couple of months. I've had other arrangements, had to study for the LSAT, and school was starting up. So now we're back again. I wanted to give you guys a full comprehensive rundown of what's been going on during this offseason and what I think about it. Plus, I brought in a couple special guests today. I got a couple of my good friends in my house today. I got Evan Pierce. Haven't seen him in a while, but glad he's here. How's it going, Evan?
Good, man. Good. Good to see you, Manny.
Talk a little bit about Celtics basketball, since that's your favorite team. Got that Pierce last name. I'm also here with my really good friend, Stephen Wilkinson. He's a Laker fan, unfortunately. How's it going, bro?
It's good, man. Let's do it.
All right, so a lot of stuff's happened this offseason. We've seen crazy mega super teams assembled. We've seen teams trying to dethrone the Warriors, which I don't know if it's about to happen. It's going to be the craziest NBA season probably any of us has ever seen. We have about seven super teams in the NBA right now. It's just going to be crazy. Yep. But first, I wanted to touch on one of the bigger offseason moves, which I definitely think probably the biggest was probably the Kyrie trade to the Celtics. You know, whenever you gain a player that's been to the finals for three straight years and won a final and has been able to produce, you know, actually great numbers in a finals, like that's probably one of the biggest assets that you could possibly get. So, Evan, what's your take on this whole Celtics deal? And basically, then we could talk back about how they didn't do well with that number one pick and so on. So, first of all, how do you think that they did overall with that?
Overall, I think he's going to add to the team. I think he's a really good asset to the team, especially, you know, with getting Gordon Hayward in there as well. But the Cavs definitely got the better deal out of it, I believe, when you look at the whole scheme of things. It's going to be really hard to beat the Cavs, even if the Celtics do go to the Eastern Conference Finals and play the Cavs. It's just going to be tough to beat them. You know, the Cavs have a – potentially their bench could be starters on other teams. Exactly. So, you know, it's going to be exciting to watch. But then again, I think the Cavs will still come up on top in the East.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think adding Kyrie plus Gordon Hayward does nothing at all really to even – you know, boost them over the Cavs. I don't even think, to be honest with you, that they're going to be better than the. I don't even think they're going to be better than the Wizards. I mean, they might be coached better than the Wizards, but as far as like a well-assembled team has played with each other for a long time, I feel like, you know, you got players down there like John Wall and Bradley Beal who have a better, you know, overall understanding of each other collectively. So I don't know. We'll see how that shapes up. But, you know, I wish that, you know, we're talking earlier about the number one pick, about what they could have done earlier, if they could have traded it to get, you know, Jimmy Butler, or, you know, they could have enticed, you know, the Pacers to give him Paul George. You know, do you think that they did that correctly? Do you think that them trading away that number one pick and then end up getting Jason Tatum was the right move, or should they have traded that number one pick to get somebody else rather than waiting on Gordon Hayward to come? And then Kyrie was kind of a luck of a draw thing. You didn't know he was going to want to leave in the first place. So, you know, what's your take on that? Because I know you weren't too happy about that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, the whole take on it now, it all fell into place. But going back to look at it, we didn't know we were going to get Kyrie. So, you know, from their standpoint, it was a smart decision because they were going to get Jason Tatum regardless if they had the first pick or not. They had already said that. But from everyone else's eyes, you know, they should have went after someone that's already produced in the league, who already has put up those numbers, like Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm. Who could have just been a great asset to the team before taking a chance on somebody that they just do not know if he'll be able to produce or not.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Tatum does have upside. Like, he could be like I think he's going to be like Melo. But, I mean, old Melo, not like he's going to be like a Nuggets Melo. But at the end of the day, you know, you never know, like, what these, you know, young picks are going to turn out to be. And they've stashed so many of them, like, through the, like, they have all these number one picks that, you know, I feel like they're kind of in that mix of, like, you know, they were number one in the East last year, but they have a young team. They got a young coach. They have all these number one picks. It's kind of almost unheard of. And you were the number one team over the Cavs. And then you add Kyrie Irving, and then you still got all these number one picks. Like, they might, I think, you know, like, you never know what's going through Danny Ainge's head, But at the same time, it's like they can be able to build something special there. They can have like a super young team that could be, you know, the top four seed team in the East for years to come, but actually be like a productive team, not just be like a team that just like, not just be like the 76ers that just collect picks. Like they're actually like a productive team that has picks. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I feel like though that that losing Isaiah Thomas and Crowder was a huge in Avery Bradley. Like that was a huge reason why you guys were even number one to begin with. I think Avery Bradley should have won Defensive Player of the Year or should have at least been on the first team. He wasn't on the first team. How do you think that these new look Celtics are going to be without Crowder, without Bradley? That was about, you know, without Crowder and Bradley, that was about 30 points of the offense right there. And with IT gone now, that's about 28 points gone. You don't have that fourth quarter scorer. I mean, you kind of do have Kyrie, but he's kind of a little spotty at times. You know, how is losing, I feel like losing Crowder is a huge piece. Crowder and Bradley were huge pieces during the offseason that I feel like a lot of people don't understand were such a big part to that team.
Yeah, definitely. Losing Crowder, you know, defensively, he was an animal defensively. You know, he was able to guard, you know, big players and make big plays defensively. And, you know, also, you know, he did amount for some points on offense as well. So losing him and, you know, adding the pieces that we did add with the Celtics, it kind of is just weird because the Celtics are just going to have to figure it out. You know, with putting the new pieces in together, they're just going to have to figure out, you know, defensively and offensively all across the board, just how they're going to, you know, fill in the spaces for, you know, Jay Crowder leaving and, you know, that big, because he was a big heart for the team on the court and also, you know, in the locker room and all over the place, you know what I mean?
He's one of the longer tenured players there in Boston. Definitely going to be someone that they're going to miss. And that's the biggest thing in the league right now. They got to figure, like, if teams can't defend, they're not going to be able to stop anybody. Like, you can't, like, like this is going off on a tangent, but I've been playing 2K the last couple of weeks now, and you can't even stop the Warriors in 2K. You can't even stop the you can't stop the Warriors in 2K. You can't stop the Rockets in 2K. You can't stop the Cavs in 2K if you're not a good defensive team. And like that can translate back to real life too. Like if you don't have that stuff going on with you guys, like if you don't have someone that can guard that best player, if you can't have someone on your team that can lock down Steph Curry when Steph Curry's hot, then you guys are going to probably lose that game. Like, and if the Celtics were to have Avery Bradley, you know, Avery Bradley would guard Steph. You know, if LeBron's going off, you know, you'd have Marcus Smart. I mean, yeah, Marcus Smart that's going to come and replace that. But at the end of the day, you want to be able to like count on a guy that's like proven himself, like, and can shoot, you know, have a guy on the floor that's not going to be a liability. So they're just gonna have to pull it together. They're gonna have to figure it out defensively. I feel like they're gonna struggle early, but that's just, you know, that's just every team that starts off new. So although they have a new super team over there in Boston, they're gonna have to compete against the number one team in the East without a doubt. This year it's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got basically two starting lineups, a bench full of probable names that have been, you know, throughout the NBA for years, have, you know, been able, have proven bench players. And that's something that you're going to need in the NBA if you want to go a long way. And I feel like that's going to give a lot of teams in the NBA problems, could potentially maybe put them over the Warriors. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, how do you assess this offseason, Steve, and where do you think they lie for like the first couple months of the season, especially after acquiring Dwayne Wade?
So I think their offseason was like completely undervalued. Getting Dwayne Wade, the biggest thing about that is they took away the option of him going to the Thunder, which I think was the biggest threat. Him going to the Thunder or even somewhere else out west. And
like even if he were to go to the Thunder, you think the Thunder would have had a chance to actually do something if he was on the Thunder?
I think they would have been able to do something against the Warriors.
True.
I mean, I think they would have had a chance. I think D Wade as a third option is huge. Like, I mean, that him coming off the bench or being a third option on the team, he's not a first option anymore. So those days are over.
Yeah, but he's being a first option. I mean, a third option now on the Cavs, right? Is that what you're saying?
Being the third option on Cavs, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that he's gonna probably have to be a second option for these next couple of months. You know, they in that trade with the Celtics, they got the Cavs got Isaiah Thomas and they got Jay Crowder from it. But Isaiah Thomas is hurt. he had to go through that whole physical thing because they didn't think he was going to be ready or be even valuable to be traded. But he's going to be able to play in like in late December. So you got about 2 months here where you got to be able to, you know, provide some scoring and provide some valuable minutes at either the point guard or shooting guard position. And they're going to rely on Dwayne Wade for that. So do you think Dwayne Wade's going to be able to give him that extra, you know, like maybe 17, 20 points a game, give him viable minutes and not be like a liability on the court, because he's getting older. He didn't really do so well last year. He shot, I think it was like 45 threes most of he has shot in like last like 7 years. So do you think he'll be able to, you know, hold his own for that first couple of months before Isaiah Thomas comes back?
I think he can give him a spark. Like, as long as you can just hold it down until Isaiah Thomas comes back, I think he'll be good. Once he comes back, you can kind of fall back a little bit. You got Isaiah Thomas, LeBron. You got one of the deepest teams in the league. So I think that if he just gives him a spark and then just kind of waits until the playoffs, I think they'll be good to go.
So do you think Dwayne Wade has any capability of being old Dwayne Wade at all? Like with any of the slightest bit, do you think Dwayne Wade could potentially be like Dwayne Wade in Miami, like for like even a year with LeBron? Because I feel like if that were to happen, then they could potentially do something.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, him and LeBron together, you know, they're friends off the court. So LeBron, like Steve was saying over there, that he might be able to spark Dwayne Wade back into that type of gear, at least for a little while. I mean, at least until Isaiah Thomas gets back, and maybe even for the season, I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah, so I mean, if he's able to do that, then I feel like the Cavs have like a legitimate chance of like, I feel like around that time, if Dwayne Wade starts playing well again, and I feel like if LeBron's already playing how LeBron does, the Cavs are doing well, and Isaiah Thomas is about to come back, I feel like that's going to start opening people's eyes, and people are going to start saying, you know, middle of the season around Christmas time when the Cavs play the Warriors again, everyone's going to be like, all right, well, the Cavs got a legitimate shot to beat the Warriors now. And, you know, I feel like if he just lingers around that point, then maybe they'll be able to beat the Warriors. But as of right now, I'm not too sure yet. The biggest question mark, though, to me, though, on the Cavs team is Derrick Rose is going to be running that team for a little while. He's going to be at the point, Dwayne Wade's going to be at the two, and LeBron's going to be at the three. If this was in 2009 and 2010, then this would be a solid team right here. Like, this would be, like, no one could beat him right here. But, like, you got Derrick Rose. His knees are made out of Jell-O right now. Like, do you think Derrick Rose, like, I mean, can you count out Derrick Rose this late in his career? Like, can you count him out? You know, he did average, what, like, I think 17 points a game last season. But, like, if Derrick Rose were to do something, this would be, like, a bounce-back year or something like that. That would be crazy. But, you know, do you think he has it in him, though, like, at all? Like, we keep saying these players have it in them, but, like, they were once really good. So, I don't, like.
You can't count him out after last year. Like, after what he did last year, he showed he could still play. As long as he stays healthy, him coming off the bench after Isaiah Thomas comes back, like, that's huge. I mean, for what they got him for nothing. They had one of the best off seasons out of anybody.
Seriously, no, they definitely did have the best off season. Besides, I think the Timberwolves had probably one of the best off seasons. Definitely the Thunder too, but the Cavs are up there for sure. You know, I feel like, you know, like the Cavs are about to be in the. We're all in agreement. The Cavs are going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals again, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they have no. They're going to have no problem making it there. But, you know, we're going to see what happens. Anyone can get injured. Stuff can happen. You know, cards cannot fall in the right place.
As long as LeBron doesn't get injured, they get to Eastern Conference Finals.
As long as LeBron – all right. I mean, to be honest with you, LeBron could probably play with the third string on that team. And, like, he could probably play with a lineup of him, you know, Tristan Thompson, maybe, like, Kyle Korver and, like – you know, Channing Frye or something, they could still make it, you know, like, all I need, like, especially in the East, but, you know, who knows, we'll be able to tell more during the season, maybe, hopefully, I hope Derrick Rose doesn't get injured while Isaiah Thomas is out, because that could be very, very bad. They won't have a point guard to run that team. You'll have to go to Jose Calderon off the bench. You never know. You got a whole bunch of injury-prone players on your roster and on your bench, so we'll see what happens. you know, it's I feel like they're going to make it out, but once they get to the playoffs, that's when the real Cavs and real LeBron starts playing for real. All right, so we talked about the Celtics, talked about the Cavs. Now we're going to talk about who I think is going to be MVP this year, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks. That team is young. That team is out there hooping. That kid is super athletic, point guard, has a little jumper now, can probably step out and shoot the three. He willed his team to the playoffs last year against the Raptors, actually had a really good series. What's your take on him, Evan? Do you think he's gonna be an MVP candidate this year? Like, do you think he'll be able to propel his team again to the playoffs, probably a top five seed?
I definitely think he'll be able to propel his team. You know, he's young, he's very athletic, and he just has a drive, man, to play. You know, if he stays healthy, I definitely see him in the running for an MVP candidate this year.
I just feel like there's going to be no one that can stop him, bro. Like, last year, that was just, like, you just saw him growing and growing and growing. This offseason, I saw him, and, like, and I was like, damn, this dude is huge. Like, when I saw him in New Orleans, I was like, damn, this guy is, like, this fool's a legit 7 foot and can dribble, like, dribble full court from top to bottom and can get by anybody. Like, and I don't feel like there's anyone there hasn't been anyone in the NBA that could do that. Like Kevin Durant could kind of do that, but Kevin Durant could shoot, but he's not as athletic as Giannis is. So, I mean, I feel like he's going to be MVP. I feel like there's going to be no one that could stop him this year, to be honest with you. I don't even think LeBron could stop him this year.
I don't think. When you look at the MVP, you got to think the two most important factors are you got to get the individual stats, and then you also got to have a winning record. And you look at the East, the top three teams, probably Cavs, Wiz, Celtics.
I feel like the Bucks are going to about to be a top three team in the East.
Over the Celtics?
I mean, over the Wizards? I feel like it could definitely be Cavs, Celtics, Cavs, Celtics, Bucks, or Cavs, Bucks, Celtics, or Cavs, Bucks, Wizards, Celtics. It could be anything in that type of order right there. You know, it's not something, or it could even be someone else above the Cavs. Who, like, you know, you saw last year too, so... I mean, you don't even, like, it could be something like that.
I don't know. If that's the case, then, yeah, he's an MVP candidate because you got to have a winning record. So if they get top three, okay, he's an MVP candidate. But other than that, you put up the individual stats and you don't.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, so who would win? So let's open up to this. Who would win MVP this year then? Because I don't think it's going to be Russell Westbrook again.
LeBron's always in the mix. Russell Westbrook is in the mix. He's a reigning MVP. Okay. You got Steph Curry. You got,
but yeah. I feel like no one on the Warriors is gonna win MVP. It's just not gonna happen. Like, you got too many players that can have the ball in their hands, too many plays to be made, not too much showcasing to be put on. That's why I think with the Thunder, there's gonna be no MVP out there either. And it kind of less like this year with these acquisitions, it kind of lowered the chances of all these different teams having MVPs. Like James Harden, I feel like he's not going to be that much of an MVP candidate this year at all either. You're adding Chris Paul, you're going to take away touches. James Harden was James Harden last year because he had the ball in his hands every single play and was either shooting it or passing it. That's how he got a triple-double every single game. You know, so, you know, like...
I mean, if we're looking at it from that standpoint of, you know, record-wise and individual stats, yeah, you look at the super teams, it's going to be harder for them to, you know, put up those individual stats. But if that is the case, then you have the conversation of Giannis and LeBron. Because LeBron, you know he's going to have the record to showcase, and you know he's also going to have the individual stats to showcase as well.
Yeah, I mean, if I could just call the MVP every single year, I would give it to LeBron. Like, I feel like if you were to take LeBron off the Cavs for any of these years, they wouldn't be the Cavs. They would just be Kyrie before LeBron came. You know, and that's very, very obvious. But, like, if they don't give the NBA they don't give the MVP like that, which I think is kind of stupid. I feel like they should give it to the. They should go. I feel like they should take, like, the player's total value to that team and subtract it out of the whole value, and then the player with the most potential to cause havoc, if he was to be, you know, off the team. I feel like that's the player that should have the most weight when deciding MVP. But yeah, no, definitely LeBron's always in the mix. Like, I feel like it's between him and Giannis. Maybe if someone in the West could come up from these super teams, could be potentially true. I'm kind of not sold on one of these super team players coming out here and winning MVP.
I think LeBron gets it, and the main reason is he got his team back. Like, he was the primary ball handler last season, but Kyrie put up numbers and they kind of split it. I think LeBron gets it, but you know the Laker fan in me wants to say Lonzo. But
Jesus. All right, we're just gonna stop it right there, folks. We're not. Man, this guy just said Lonzo Ball for MVP. Okay.
Hey, LeVar called it, so we'll see.
So whatever LeVar Ball says, I guess is true.
We'll put the curse on him.
Jesus. Okay. All right, well, all right. We got one more team to talk about in the East. We'll talk about them a little bit. That doesn't really get too much stuff getting talked about them. It's the Wizards. I feel like it's like the Wizards against the rest of the NBA, and I feel like everyone is just like that. Everyone's just like, well, they got John Wall down there. All right, so what? You know, and they missed out on Kevin Durant a couple of years ago, big time, which I thought that would have definitely dethroned LeBron in the East if they would have got Kevin Durant. But now they're stuck. It's, you know, John Wall, Bradley Beal. They gave them these max contracts, super big contracts. They're stuck there for a while. They just really think it's them against the rest of the NBA. You know, do they have a shot? Do they have even a shot of making it out of the East, Steve? Like, do you think they're going to even be able to even nudge even the Celtics or the Bucks? Or be, you know, make it to the Eastern Conference Finals at least?
Maybe the Eastern Conference Finals. But, I mean, the problem is the way the NBA is set up, you got the Cavs and the Warriors every year for the last couple of years. It's like those two teams are meeting in the finals. So if you're not built...
So you're just assuming, again, just Cavs, Warriors.
It's Cavs, Warriors Finals. All right. So if you're not built to beat the Warriors and you're to beat the Cavs and you're in the Eastern Conference... That's it. Like if you can't beat the Cavs, I mean, Eastern Conference Finals is the limit for the Warriors. I mean, maybe.
For the Wizards?
I mean, yeah, for the Wizards.
Yeah. All right, so in Eastern Conference Finals, if the Wizards were to make it, who would they knock off? Who could they beat in a seven-game series in the playoffs?
I don't see them being able to beat knocking off really anyone in the playoffs. I mean,
so like, but they would make it to the second round, right?
It depends. It depends how the.
I mean, because you still got the Heat, you still got the Hornets.
Yeah, it definitely depends. I mean, we know John Wall's going to do his thing. We know Bradley Beal's going to do his thing. But then, I mean, Sheldon. I mean, like, what else are you going to be able to do? Like, I really don't know. Especially going against teams like that, I don't think they're going to be able to knock off the Celtics. I don't think they're going to be able to knock off the Cavs. And I don't think they're going to be able to knock off the Bucks. So I really just don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's probably going to be an NBA series. It'd probably be Bucks Wizards at 4 and 5 if I were to call it right now. I feel like that would probably be a good series heading into the playoffs. You know, I kind of feel bad for John Wall. Like he is probably he's a top 5 point guard in the NBA. I feel like he is, but he just doesn't give the recognition. He doesn't give that proper respect that he deserves because he's been on a losing team for the majority of it. You know, he was in the playoffs a little bit at the beginning of his career with Gilbert Arenas and them, but that wasn't really like something where he could do anything with. He's kind of had the short end of the stick. No one wants to go to Washington and play there. He kind of got caught by all the super team stuff, which I don't know why no one wanted to even go there. Like I don't think they tried hard enough, to be honest with you. Like if they were to get like Kevin Durant, or they were to get like Anthony Davis or something like that, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, who knows? Or they should have even tried for Paul George.
They tried to recruit Paul George.
But like, come on, you have one of the best shooting guards in the NBA. It's probably Klay Thompson, Bradley Beal, and Jimmy Butler for the shooting guards in the NBA right now. And you got one of the top 5 point guards, top 3 shooting guards. You just need another top 5 player at some other position, and you're straight. You know, if I was a big man, if I was DeMarcus, or if I was Anthony Davis, I'd be wanting to go there. But who knows? Their front office is a little shaky. They've had some, they signed Otto Porter to a max extension, which I don't understand. Like, there's just no one else available. Who knows with the Wizards? I just got a request to talk about them, so I had to talk about them. But all right. So that's our take for the Eastern Conference. We're going to run down through the West pretty quick here. We just want to touch up on the East because there was a lot of moves recently that were big, that are kind of weight shifting moves. But now let's talk about the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder, adding Melo, to the squad. I don't know if this is going to change anything for the Thunder. Evan thinks it is. Why do you think it is? Why do you think they're gonna, like, you think they're about to be top three team in the East? I mean, in the West this year?
I definitely do. Yeah, they don't have the chemistry yet. But, you know, they're going to be able to work it out. I mean, as long as they know that it is Russell Westbrook's team still. And I think they know that. I think, you know, Melo has said in some recent interviews, you know, that he likes the drive that Russell brings to the team and the heart and soul that he has with that organization. So I just see him being on some cool stuff. And I think Melo's going to go out there and kill it. You know, he's finally in a position to win. And with that, that's going to boost his confidence level. That's going to make him play better. And he's going to want to play. You know, I think his last couple of years out there in New York, he wasn't the same Melo. He didn't want to play. So he's in a happy place now. And I think they're going to work it out.
Yeah. I'm going from the perspective, like, maybe, you know, he doesn't get his stuff together. I don't want to call them a top three team right away. Cause you never know. Cause that bench is super shaky. That's probably one of that's probably the worst super team bench out of all the super teams. They have the worst bench, like, right? Like,
correct.
Like, they have, out of all the super teams that are, like, that have been assembled, they have the worst bench possible. And, you know, they haven't really put too much thought into that. Like I don't think at all this off season. They could have probably got some, you know, great bench players, but they didn't. They got Samaje Christian backing up Russell Westbrook. They got Raymond Felton coming off the bench backing him up, and you got only a shooting guard. Alex Abrines is coming off the bench to back up a non-shooting guard in Andre Robertson. So, you know, it's going to be very, very shaky to see what's going to go on this year with that squad. You know, if Melo comes back and he's Denver Nuggets Melo, early New York Knicks Melo, they could probably be better than the Rockets. Definitely probably better than the Spurs. But I don't know. We're just going to have to see what happens here. If I feel like Paul George is going to have a breakout season. He kind of has to if he wants to get this, like, super max deal that he wants next offseason. He'll probably get it regardless from L.A. But, you know, but Steve, what is your take on this? You know, where do you think that this Thunder team is going to go? Do you think that old Melo is going to come back? Do you think that Paul George is going to be able to, you know, like propel this team to the next level and kind of take over that, like, scoring that wasn't there when Kevin Durant left?
I think the crazy thing is we never seen Melo as anything other than the first option on a team. So he has a chance to – he doesn't have to control the ball. He has somebody who he can play with to be the ball handler. I think that's going to be crazy. I think Paul George – having Russell Westbrook sign that contract – to where he's locked up.
Yeah, five years, $205 million. He's going to be making $500,000 every single time he steps on the floor.
Crazy.
So I just had to talk about that because that was crazy. That's a crazy, crazy contract.
I think that instills value into the team and shows he's not leaving. Melo's going to be there for at least the next 2 years. Paul George might stay depending on what happens. Regardless, I think they got two top 10 players. Melo's somewhere in the top 25 possibly if he comes back. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be something up in the air. You know, I have them going as far as they can go if Melo's going to be good. If Melo can give them anywhere between 16 through 19 points a game, then they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right in the West. And if I feel like Paul George is going to get his, he's going to get like 25, 26 points a game. And I feel like Russell Westbrook will probably – he'll be around 25, 26 points this year because he's going to have to lose some of that because there's going to be some – like the thing is, it's like they're – all three of them have been ball stoppers their whole career. Like, it's just – you can't really, like, put too much faith and too much trust into them to be like that, you know, sharing super team like the Warriors. Like, they're none of – all the guys on the Warriors, they've always been, like, exception for Kevin Durant, but I feel like he took that system now and he knows how to play, like, team basketball. But all those guys on the Warriors, they're never, like, the first option. They pass the ball. Like, they pass the ball too much. And, you know, if you ever watched Melo in Denver or in New York, Melo would get the ball, stop around the you know, the foul line, and then that would be the offense. Shoot a shot, run back on defense. Same thing with Paul George. They're just ball stopper type of players. You know, they're, and same thing with Russell Westbrook all last season. he would drive to the basket every single time and then either dish it off to somebody or dish it out to the three or get fouled. You know, that's how he was getting a lot of rebounds around the rim, getting a lot of easy shots for his teammates, because he had the ball in his hands the whole entire time. I don't think he's going to average a triple double again. I don't think he's going to do that. That was like a 1 year thing. But who knows? I feel like it all falls on Melo. It all falls on Melo. And then if the bench cannot keep that lead once the game starts, you know, if the Thunder jump out to like a 15 to 20 point lead, you know, you won't be able to count on their bench to keep that lead. You know, but if they're able to keep it within 5 or 10, you know, just keep it in range for when Russell Westbrook comes back in the game.
All they gotta do is maintain.
But you know, will that be good enough against the Warriors? Will that be good enough against the Rockets? You know, that's just the kind of stuff that has to go through your head if you're a Thunder owner. You know, you got to be able to, you know, prepare yourself for this, because when you play the Warriors come in, you go down by 15, the Warriors bench comes in and they keep it around 10 until the starters come back in, and then they pour it on you again, another 10 point outing, and then you're down by 20 without even realizing it, and then the game's over. That's how every single Warriors game has been for the last 3 years. It's like teams get so far behind because their benches, you know, can't keep up or cannot just keep them in the game. And I don't feel like they have anybody on the bench to keep them in the game, to be honest with you. So
that's who the Thunder have to model themselves after, though, because they're both super top-heavy teams. Like, I mean, you got Paul George, Melo, Russell Westbrook, three guys that in their own place could be the man in their own city. Mm-hmm. So you got a team it's modeled after the Warriors. You got a team where you got four guys.
Everything's modeled after the Warriors.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you got two top-heavy teams. The bench, I feel like the Warriors' bench isn't great either, but they just know how to maintain. It's good coaching.
I mean, it's good coaching there in Oklahoma City too. You know,
Kevin Durant didn't think so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Kevin Durant came out the other day and said it wasn't good coaching on his burner Twitter spree or whatever he was on. That was a little bit weird. All right, so you know, we gave you the perspective on our take on the Thunder. Let's move on to the Rockets now. You know, this is very quick. We just want to talk about the Chris Paul addition. Obviously, James Harden's going to lose touches. He's going to have a point guard now. James Harden won't have to play point guard the whole game. I feel like they're going to actually take a step back just a little bit, because James Harden had so much, like, him being that point guard to that team was what made the Rockets last year. Like, he literally ran up and down the court, did anything he wanted to. He had the green light from anywhere on the court, as if everyone else on the team, they only were able to shoot threes. And then if you're a big guy, you're only able to shoot layups. That was it. Nothing else is going to be able to – last season, you know, nothing was going to be able to fly unless you were shooting a three or a layup. But now you got Chris Paul coming in. He's about to shoot, you know – his mid-range jumpers, float, dribble around the interior, do a lot of that stuff he did in LA. You know, now it's going to be more of like an identity crisis, I feel like, for the Rockets, especially for those players that were there last year and endured that success. They're not going to have that same fundamental, you know, like James Harden going to the basket, getting fouled, or step back three. I feel like the offense is going to be a lot more, you know, remedial is going to stop a lot more. Chris Paul is going to try to, you know, navigate the game in a way that was so much more different than last year. You know, I just don't think that they're going to be able to. I feel like they're going to be about like a 3 or 4 seed. So, Evan, take it away. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you when you say that they're going to take a step back, at least for the first half of the season, until they can kind of figure it out. Because, yes, like you said, James Harden was the heart and the soul of that team. Kind of like, you know, backyard basketball, like, pass me the ball, you know, I'm open, give me the ball, I'm not open, I'm going to take the shot anyway, this is my team, you know, I need to lead the team to victory. So, you know, it's kind of going to go from that, and he's going to have to learn how to transition back to an off-ball type of player to where the ball's not going to be in his hands. So, you know, he's going to have to come off more, you know, screens, make plays, slash a little bit more. Because the ball's not going to be in his hands anymore. So we need to see if he's going to be able to make that transition to see where they will fall with the seeds.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be an opportunity for some players on that team to be better than they were last year. I feel like Chris Paul's going to be able to give these some of these guys a lot more touches and give them a lot more open looks. Like, for instance, he's going to be able to – I feel like he's going to be able to make Clint Capela, DeAndre Jordan. I feel like that's going to be a big, big, like, part of his teaching to that team. I feel like Clint Capela has all, like, the – he has the length. He has, like, the awareness around the rim to be kind of like a DeAndre Jordan-type player. You kind of saw that a little bit last year when James Harden was going to the basket, throwing up oops and stuff like that to him. But I feel like it's another ISO type of thing. Like, you know, it's going to be a lot of ball stopping. It's going to be a lot of that type of stuff. I feel like it doesn't make you a lot more fluid than the Warriors. It makes you a lot more, you know, fluid on the three. I mean, you have enough 3-point shooters, but you don't have enough like fluidity from all five positions. You know, like their four is a little bit scary. You're gonna have to be playing Ryan Anderson a lot more. You know, they didn't really go out there and get a you know, like a prominent center. So I don't feel like they're gonna have that protection. They're not gonna be able, especially their bench too. Like, their bench last year was a little bit shaky at times as well, especially when like a couple of injuries happened, especially when Eric Gordon got injured. So what do you think is about to happen to him, Steve?
I think fifth seed.
Fifth seed?
I think 50. I think when you look at the West, you got Warriors, Spurs are going to be good in the regular season, Thunder, and then what about the Timberwolves? Like, I think the Timberwolves got a better chance to make some noise than the Rockets. The Rockets definitely got better, but everybody else got
much
better
more
too.
Better. Much more better.
I mean, that's the problem with adding Chris Paul. I think it was a good move for Houston, but it was a bad move for Chris Paul. You left L.A.
Yeah.
Where you were the man. You're about to have your jersey hung up in 5 years. You had money on the table, and you left to do the same thing. You'd be a fifth seed again, fourth at the most, fourth seed.
But when he left and made that move, though, you didn't really know how the rest of the West was going to transpire. You know, like, the Warriors are still going to be the Warriors, but you didn't know that. You didn't know that the Thunder were about to be the Thunder yet.
Yeah, but that's what I think. He thought they were going to get maybe Melo. Like, I think he thought Melo was on the way if he went to Houston. I think he thought maybe.
But he didn't go to Rockets on like a condition like that. He like they're going to get somebody else. Like, that's almost like you can't think that. Like, he wanted to get out. Like, eventually he wanted to. That whole thing in LA wasn't working. Like, it hadn't been working for a couple of years. You want to try something new. Like, you know,
but even then, when you say that, I mean, even before the Thunder were even put together, him going to the Rockets isn't going to win him a championship. Right. He wasn't going to beat the Warriors even before the Thunder was even here with making that move.
That's true. But
he had to go on a condition. There had to be something, because if you just got James Harden and Chris Paul, you got to think, like, Chris Paul was – he had to think, we got to get somebody else. I think that was part of the pitch.
Part of the pitch on a condition to get somebody else.
You got
to
get somebody else. Because how can you beat the Warriors with just he had DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin.
Okay,
and himself.
But you went to the Western Conference Finals last year. Like you know what I mean? Like you know what I mean? Like, you had that opportunity to still beat the Warriors. Like, and you add Chris Paul. Like, that's what the Rockets are looking at. Like, damn, we have a real real pot like chance. You know what I mean? Like they have a real, real like chance to beat like to beat the Warriors. Like, that's what he thinks. Like, but I don't think.
Even from the outside looking in, they got no chance.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, it's like you know you go there to want to play with James Harden, but you're gonna go there to play with James Harden to take away probably 5 points James Harden had last year, take away 5 assists, and take away you take a little of something when you get added to something for you to get your own. And I feel like that's going to be like the ultimate downfall of the Rockets. I feel like they're not going to get past the. I feel like they probably won't get past maybe the first round of the playoffs. To be honest with you, I feel like they might get tested early in that first round, because they're probably going to be playing against a fourth or fifth seed, and that fourth or fifth seed is going to be the Timberwolves, Thunder, you know, or the Spurs. You never know, but it's going to be or the Grizzlies. You never know, like, you know, they might get in there too, but. You know, that's just going to be something you got to watch out for. I feel like James Harden's not going to be an MVP candidate again this year. I feel like he won't be. I feel like there's going to be some other players that are going to step up. All right, so we're on to our last team now in the West that I wanted to touch on this first podcast back. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves, my favorite team in the NBA for the last, you know, 8 years or so. I feel like Timberwolves had the best offseason out of every single NBA team. They definitely create a new identity for themselves. They have a new look. They have new jerseys. They have new logos. They got new players. They got probably going to be the best center in the NBA in the next couple of years, without a doubt. Karl-Anthony Towns. Adding Jeff Teague this offseason, getting Jimmy Butler from the Bulls in the draft night trade, and adding in Taj Gibson and adding Jamal Crawford, I feel like this instantly puts them in the top three or four in the West. And people say it's going to take them a long time to get, you know, to get acclimated with each other. It's going to take them a long time to start playing with each other. But I feel like this is going to be a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I feel like this team is one of the only teams that can compete with the Warriors in the West, because this team, you know, they have like the depth on a conditional basis, but these players can all play for a long period of time. Andrew Wiggins, you know, these guys are each 20 point scorers. There was a span last year where Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns scored 20 points a game, I think for like 25 games straight or something like that. That's almost unheard of. And these guys are both under 22 years old. I feel like they'll end up in the top four. I feel like they'll be one of the only teams that could possibly be close to beating the Warriors. This might sound dumb to most people, but I feel like the Timberwolves could beat could have a viable chance of beating the Warriors in a 7-game series. They can match up defensively big time. No one on the Warriors can guard Karl-Anthony Towns. Nobody. And then if you have Jeff Teague out there, he's kind of defensively sound. He's a floor orchestrator. You have Jimmy Butler in there. He's a great defensive player. Can guard Klay Thompson. And you have Andrew Wiggins, or Jimmy Butler can guard Kevin Durant. I feel like this is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the West. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely am going to have to agree with you once again on that. You know, they added in some great additions to the team. You know, Jimmy Buckets, man, he's going to go get his money. You know, Jeff Teague, he's a heart of all the teams that he goes to, you know. So I think it's just going to be good all the way around the boards. And, you know, Towns, he's going to eat. Everyone's going to eat, you know, Wiggins. So, yeah, definitely with the matchups, I think defensively they're sound. Offensively they're going to learn to click together. And they're going to be really good coming out of the West for sure.
Yeah, like as we were talking about earlier, we're talking about defensively. You know, defensive sound teams are the ones who win championships. People hear that all the time, but it's true. Like, you know, like Tom Thibodeau is a defensive-minded coach. Like, and you got some defensive-minded players on that team. Like, you got Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, that man is a beast. Like, no one's going to be able to go in the paint against that guy at all. Andrew Wiggins is.
And you also have, like, you know, a fresh Crawford coming off the bench as well. That's gonna that add on right there is a big piece that they added on with him.
Yeah, they added in Crawford, who can give him 15 to 20 points off the bench any given night. Sixth man of the year candidate every single year. Like, it's not even the question that he's gonna be able to hoop off the bench. You know, and like, even though he's changed teams, he's hooped. He's been a sixth man candidate every single team he's been on. So it's not even a, you know, I feel like it's not even a question he's going to be able to produce. But I feel like another significant piece, though, was Taj Gibson. Like, that's another guy that Tom Thibodeau had underneath his wing in Chicago for a long time. You know, that's gonna be something big to, like to look forward to, because you're going to have those two guys down there in the post. You got your wing players. You got your traditional point guard. Where do you think they fall, Steve? I feel like they're gonna be like a top three seed. I feel like they're gonna be able to beat the Warriors at some point.
I say top four. Fourth seed, just because of the fact that they got a superstar. They got Jimmy Butler. He's proven. Andrew Wiggins is a great player offensively, but then he also plays defense. A lot of players don't do that anymore. So I mean, if you look at that, I don't know. I think 4 seed. I gotta say 4 seed.
All right. So you'd have the Thunder over them, and
I got the Thunder over them.
And who else?
And the Spurs.
All right.
You
so
can't count out the Spurs.
All right. You know, we're gonna add on one more little team to this end of this, because I feel like we need to talk about the Spurs really quick. I feel like the Spurs, this is gonna be the year. I'm going on record saying this is gonna be the year the Spurs are gonna have an off year. They're gonna make the playoffs still, but they're gonna be probably like a 5th seed. I feel like they're gonna be like a 5th seed. I feel like with the amount of offseason moves that were made this year, they're not going to be able to compete at the level that they've always been. They've been able to be a top 2 seed, the last 3-4 years, And we've seen in the playoffs that they're not able to get there, you know, because the Warriors. But like, we've never had a period like this in the NBA where these teams have all become, you know, crazy, like the Thunder, again, Melo, and Paul George, Timberwolves, you know, even the Rockets a little bit. We got to just see.
Hold on. If you got the Spurs as the fifth seed, what does your top four look like?
My top four is going to be the Warriors, and then two is probably either going to be like the Timberwolves, or it's going to be the Thunder. And then, bear with me.
Okay.
Timberwolves, Thunder, and I think the Rockets will probably be fourth. And then I think the Spurs will be around four or five right there. And I feel like that's not going to be some – like, that's very, very possible of happening. Like, everyone knows that Kawhi Leonard is going to get his. Everyone knows that LaMarcus Aldridge struggled last year. And you didn't bring in anybody else. You didn't bring in anybody else. Tony Parker's old. DeJounte Murray needs some time to grow off the bench. You're not going to have anybody out there. Like, David West is old. I don't even think they signed him again. But, like, you're not going to have anyone coming off the bench. Manu Ginobili's not going to come off the bench and give you 20 anymore. Like, this is a real problem. Like, they don't have anybody down there. They don't have no one coming off the bench. You got Patty Mills, okay. Like, but besides that, you know, you don't got no Paul George is coming in, giving you an extra 20 buckets. Like, I mean 20 points. You know, this is a time, like, where, like, it's a shift in the NBA. Players are willing to go to teams to win championships. Players aren't willing to go to teams to play for coaches anymore. They're not willing, you know, to be like a respectful player. They're trying to just go win ships. Because at this point, what's the point of even playing in the NBA anymore if you can't go to win a championship? And that's what all these teams are doing. Like, that's what all these players are doing. That's why Kevin Durant did that. Like, he was at that point where he was sick of the Warriors beating him. He was sick of losing, so he had to go to the Warriors to win. And now he made the NBA. Can we all agree on that? Kevin Durant just changed, single-handedly changed the NBA probably for the next 10 years. Because not only did he change the NBA of how players are going to different teams, he changed the way players – he changed the way our teams are about a draft. He changed the way teams are about a tank. He changed the way that everything is about to happen, because the only way to build up a team is going to be through the draft now. The only way to build up the team is through the draft. And that's why the 76ers have been tanking, because there was no possibility of them even making it out of the East. And now look at their team. You know, like the Suns, for instance, they're not going to be able to do anything. You know, none of these teams are going to be able to do anything. Lakers, I'm sorry, not going to do anything.
You got to get free agents.
Like, you got to get free agents, but these players aren't willing to go to those teams. Like, because at that point, why are you playing anymore? Are you playing to make money for your family? Are you playing to win a championship? Are you playing to look cool and live in a certain city? Like, what are you trying to do at that point? Like, and I feel like this summer you got to realize a lot of players that wanted to win this championship. Like, if they wanted a chance to win, they got to go. And you realize the players that want to get paid. Like, some players were willing to take 1-year deals because they're willing to get paid. Like JJ Redick, he got paid like what, $18 million for 1 year to go to the 76ers. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
on a normal
NBA offseason without Kevin Durant on the Warriors, JJ Redick would sign a deal somewhere for like a 4-year, $100-something million deal, right? But now with him over there, it's like, all right, well, he wants to go try out the 76ers, make all this money, and then go somewhere and try to win a championship. I guarantee you. But you know, what do you guys take on all this? Like, because the NBA has changed, everything's different now.
Wouldn't you say that the change came from LeBron, not Kevin Durant?
No. With that, no way.
You have to go back even further, because why did Kevin Durant leave and go to the Warriors? Why did he make that move when the first person who ever really did that recently was LeBron going to the Heat?
Okay, but the Warriors are – the big difference between that is that the Warriors were an organic team. They were made organically. Kevin Durant went there organically. Like, he went there because they got good from the draft. Like – That's how you're about to get these lucrative free agents are going to want to go to your team, because you're building it up through the draft. That's the only way. Unless you like are able to beat the Warriors, and then whoever team beat the Warriors, that's the team everyone wants to go play on. That's the only way that this is about to work. you know, like say this for instance, like the like say, you know, in 5 years Devin Booker's a hooper, but he's on the Suns still and they're not doing anything, but you got like the Timberwolves over here that needed, you know, a hella good, you know, shooting guard, and they pay max money for Devin Booker, and now no one could beat the Timberwolves. You know, that's the type of thing, you know, or like, you know, that's what's going to happen in years to come. And these players are like aware of that, and these players aren't willing to sign these max deals where they are. Because, like, if they sign a max deal, they're going to be stuck there wherever they are for years. And then, you know, and we saw how hard it was for Melo to get out of New York. And no one wants to be stuck in a position where it's too hard for them to get out when they keep losing. And no one wants to be in a losing situation. Like luckily, like, the Knicks just got rid of him because they want to move on from it. See, like, it's like, that's another point. Like, the Knicks got rid of him. Like, the Knicks got rid of him for what?
Nothing. They got nothing.
Yeah, no, the Knicks got rid of Melo for nothing. Why? Because they need to build up through the draft, and that's the only way they could beat the Warriors now. You know, like, no one's going to want to go play with Melo, because then if you want to go play with Melo, you got to go bring somebody else, and you got to bring somebody else, and you got to bring somebody else to win a championship right away. Like, and that's how the NBA is going to be for the next 3 or 4 years. Kevin Durant's locked in the Warriors for years now. Steph Curry's locked in. They're going to lock in Klay Thompson's probably going to take so less money, or if anything, he's going to be the one to leave the Warriors. But, you know, that this whole NBA is going to be shook for years. Like, there's so much money on the table, but there's so many teams that, like, the good teams are going to run out of money very, very, very quickly. Unless a lot of teams are going to be willing to go to one super team out of the blue, like if in this hope it works, like a team with a lot of money, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's just going to be like, all right, let's all go to Orlando, like, and just like make a super team. Like, I don't see that happening, but it could.
Yeah.
But that's the only way you're going to be able to start something new, like, if you don't build it up through the draft. What's your take on that?
I don't know. I think if you look back at how. Okay, LeBron left, he went to Miami, came back. He kind of instilled the power to the players, kind of like how the NBA is now. So now if you want to, like you said, if you want to win, you got to have at least two stars, really three. Like, especially with the salary cap, how that changed, it's you got to have multiple people. So, I mean, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like we all get caught on this, like, you know, like I don't think LeBron was the one who started these super team things. Like, no.
What do you mean?
LeBron didn't start that mega, like, oh my god, we gotta start making super teams or we can't compete now thing.
Bro, it was LeBron, D Wade, and Chris Bosh. That was three top seven players.
But you have to look at that. When they did that, it was different than the Thunder. The Thunder was already organized to win. Kevin Durant knew if he went to the Warriors, he was going to win a ring. So I see what Manny's talking about when you get the players that, you know, are they playing for money or are they playing to win a championship? Because you have people like John Wall who will sign a big deal and exactly. he's after the money. You know, he knows that he's not going to make it out of the East with that team right now. But he knows he's going to be getting paid.
Yeah,
so.
Like, if John Wall wanted to win a championship, he could have had his agent go and talk to some super team or work something out in this offseason to not just be sitting there and just, like, you knew no one was going to come to the Wizards, like, to come to play with you. Like, see, that's a perfect example of, like, a superstar athlete not wanting to go, you know, like, just worrying about the money. Like, and maybe he needs it, but they probably do need it. I mean, yeah.
Blake Griffin, too, 5-year deal. I mean, I don't know how he possibly thinks he doesn't think he's going to make it out of the West. He's playing for money right now, you know, to feed his family and stuff like that. You know, he's not after a championship right now. Maybe later on in his career, when that deal's done, he might sign like a 1-year deal and then try to go to a team that he can win a championship. But we'll see.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to see what's gonna happen, because as long as this Warrior team is intact, like, it's almost gonna be
it's almost
gonna be impossible for like any of these, like, the thing is, like, this is a turning point in the NBA. We have all these super teams that we just discussed during this podcast, and we can arguably all of us in agreement that we still think the Warriors are gonna win a championship, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like, correct. See, all we can speculate who's going to be second, third, fourth, fifth, who added who, and who's going to be ranking where, but we all know at the end who's going to win. Like, it's the same bedtime story every single year. You're going to get to the playoffs. Now you got Kevin Durant coming in there, going to take it over. Like, Kevin Durant took over the finals, like, and it's just crazy, like, you know, and Steph Curry took a backseat and was like, all right, this is why we brought Kevin Durant here, this is why he came, like, because we need this dude, like, you know, it's just like, dude, it was almost impossible, like, and the Cavs were playing hard, the Cavs were playing well, like, the Cavs were doing all they could with what they had, and they just couldn't get over that hump, like, you can't stop Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in the finals, like, it's just, it's almost insane, like.
I don't know, though, what the... I mean, right now, as of this standpoint, yes, Warriors win the championship, but we're just going to have to see how the Cavs mash up. I mean, with that bench, man, those players that they have coming off the bench, everyone healthy, them going to the finals, and this is just, you know, what-if scenarios, but, you know, D-Wade playing like Miami Heat and LeBron D-Wade, and that bench coming off, Isaiah Thomas being Mr. Fourth Quarter. You never know. With that finals, if they're playing like that at their best level of basketball, they might be able to take over.
I feel like the only way this happens is if someone on the Warriors gets injured. But
I think you also got to remember they got the number one pick in the draft next year. So you got to wait. We got to wait till around February and see what happens trade time. Maybe they can get DeMarcus Cousins. Maybe they can flip it and get something else and they got a better roster than the Warriors. You never know.
Yeah, they do got that pick lingering from that Boston deal. That would be pretty insane. You know, I feel like they got that as an insurance in saying, like,
just in case
LeBron leaves, like, they're gonna have that new number one pick.
Yeah.
But who knows? We don't have no guys coming out this year that are like LeBron type of dudes. Like, this last draft was probably going to be the best draft in a while. Like, you got some, like, really, really, you know.
Yo, Michael Porter.
Yeah, Michael Porter is going to come out, but he's not no LeBron. Like, you know, he's not going to be like LeBron's irreplaceable. And with that roster you got now, it's championship or bust. So we'll see what happens. Come playoff time. Come December, we'll know who's going to go to the finals around that time.
Yep.
All right. So I think we covered everything. I think we talked about every single team. All the off-season moves, our takes on all of them. Wanted to bring you guys in just to get some perspective from some of my close friends, just to see what was going on throughout the season and where everybody's head's at, and just some different viewpoints of what's been going on. We all have the Warriors winning if nothing changes at this point. Cavs tried their best to get everybody stacked before the season starts. Season starts in a couple of weeks. We got the preseason starting tomorrow. So actually, if you guys are listening to it, it's going to be tonight. I don't know when you guys are listening to it, but you know, we got, you know, it's going to be a crazy season. I'm excited to see all these different matchups. I will be covering every single Kings game, although we didn't talk about them today. The Kings are one of those teams that are a tanking team. They're going to be at the bottom of the Western Conference, but it's okay because we got a new squad. We're going to see what's up with them. And just follow me on Twitter, guys, if you guys want to find out any more information about the Sacramento Kings or anything else going on in the NBA. Also, for my next podcast, I'll be doing another one during this week. If you guys have any more questions or anything you want me to talk about, like I did during this podcast, all these teams that I talked about during this podcast, I had people text me about or people DM me on Instagram or Twitter. So if you guys want me to talk about anything else, anything going on within the NBA or anything that you want to know or find out, just let me know, hit me up. And I hope you guys keep on enjoying my podcast. Just make sure to follow me on Twitter at @Manny_Vietes. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. All right, peace.
Wilding on my haters. In my 23s, having a Jordan moment.